All right, I'll probably just recap a little bit since partially for the sake of the recording, but also it's never bad to, you know, go over, you know, the word. So, Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So it's saying what the Proverbs are for, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. So we can become conscious and realize, you know, what are the words of understanding. So that's what is saying the premise of the book of Proverbs is for, to know wisdom and understanding. Verse 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And just a discretion is, you know, being able to decipher, having good judgment and knowing what to do and when. And we know that discretion and having good judgment is integral to Proverbs because it was written by Solomon. And Solomon, when the Lord asked him what he wanted, he asked for wisdom in order to judge his people. So in the book of Proverbs, he's once again writing about, you know, this is for to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. In the next verse, he says, give subtlety to the simple and to give the young man knowledge and discretion. So these are things that Solomon himself has been seeking his life. And now he's, in a way, trying to give these things to us through this writing and through this book, a collection of Proverbs. And verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So, we talked about last time what a wise man would do. So, what would a foolish person do? The wise person would hear and increase learning.
A foolish person would not hear and increase learning?
Yes, exactly. So that is what... So, we want to be wise, so... So a wise man will hear and increase learning. So that's what we're trying to do, especially when we're reading the word or any scripture. In verse 6, to understand the Proverbs and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And we discussed dark sayings are things that may not be fully understood to us when we see them, or we have to think about them a little longer. So that's why it's a dark saying. But when it's brought to the light, you know, the darkness fades away and we finally understand it for what it is. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, like I said, it says fools despise wisdom and instruction, which is, it lines up exactly with what it said in verse 5, was a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And so fools will despise wisdom and instruction. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We know that is reverence and that is, you know, having respect for what the Lord is doing and respecting the word and its and its power and authority. So respecting that, and that's the beginning of knowledge. That's how you begin to understand these things, is having respect for them. And verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So like we talked about last time, you know, it's this scripture gives you all the power, because you have the power to, when people are trying to maybe influence you or turn you a certain way, the Bible just says, consent thou not. So you have a choice in the things you do. And even if people are trying to entice you or get you to do things, you have a choice in your own actions. You have free moral agency and you make your own decisions. So if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And it's important to remember that in our daily lives. If something's happening, if something's enticing us, if something's trying to draw us further away from the Lord, consent thou not. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Now, we discussed that last time, so can someone just tell me what that means? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird.
Like
Yeah, and what is that referring to? Well, it's a look. The last few verses are talking about what the sinners are perhaps enticing someone to do, and it talks. You know, it involves money. It involves, you know, just doing things, maybe things that are wrong, but just do them just because you can do them, or just for fun, or whatever the case may be, or they run and so they run towards evil, and sometimes, you know, the holy things just aren't for some people. Like I referenced last time when I was talking about this scripture, that Jesus also said, cast not thy pearls before swine. So it's the holy thing. Sometimes certain things that, you know, the Christian life requires, or some people just won't get. And, you know, and I always encourage you to be open about what you believe in and not hide it. But, you know, sometimes the people don't fully understand, you know, sometimes they don't want to understand, and sometimes they just can't understand because they're, maybe sometimes it's just not for them. So you're not obligated to always, you know, go out of your way to explain yourself, but and that's what the scripture is talking about. It's just, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, is that, you know, you're not going to catch a bird with a net, because net are for, you know, catching fish. And if, you know, if the word doesn't draw people in, then, you know, that's all you can really do, is just present the word. And if it doesn't draw them in, you're not obligated to go out of your way to continue to, you know, cast your pearls before swine. Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So I talked last time, like, this is the self-destructive nature of sin. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't lead to satisfaction. And you're only going to end up hurting yourself, and it's not going to really benefit you or profit you, because it says they lay wait for their own blood, because they lurk privily for their own lives. But early in the scripture, it's saying that they're doing that for other people. They're trying to harm other people, or steal, or rob them, or they're going to share one purse, or get money, or whatever they were going to do. But the scripture says, really, they're committing these acts, and they're really hurting themselves. And when they do these acts, because it's not going to benefit them, it's not going to satisfy them, they're not going to be fulfilled. They're not going to have a clear conscience. They're not going to know where they're going after they die. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to have a satisfied and really fulfilled life, regardless of, you know, what they chase, or what they do, or what evil they commit. You know, if they cheat or steal, or even if they're successful, you know, they're still going to end up, you know, being eaten from the inside, because, you know, it's not going to sit well with them, or it's not going to lead to anything. You know. So that's what it's really talking about. It's like it's really self-destructive. The way of the sinner is really self-destructive. Verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So once again, if you're greedy of gain, you know, it takes away the life of the owners thereof. So the greed, or the consumption, or trying to do this or do that, or trying to, you know, seek worldly pleasure, it taketh the life of the owners thereof. So it's not going to benefit you in the long run. So now we're on verse 20. In verse 20, it says, the first thing it says is, wisdom crieth. Now, let's read the whole verse. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. So, I'm sure you've all taken an English class. Everyone's here been to school. So, everyone knows what personification is, right? It's like when something that is
giving character to non-living things.
Right, exactly. Something that is not typically described as a human or a person is now given human characteristics. So it's saying wisdom crieth. Well, wisdom to us is like a concept in our minds of what maybe a smart or an intelligent, or maybe someone who's lived a long life, or someone who just knows a lot of things. That's what wisdom is to us, is like a concept of maybe understanding or knowledge. And here it is, the Bible is using the personification of wisdom to try and get a point across. Because most people view wisdom as something that they can, you know, attain, or something that they can get for themselves. But these verses really make it, turn it into a person and portray wisdom as like an entity that wants to be, you know, found and sought out by others in order to help them. You know, it's saying it cries out, it cries without. You know, and it says, she uttereth her voice in the streets. So the wisdom, knowledge, understanding is trying to reach people. And we know that in the Bible, multiple times, wisdom and truth are personified in Christ as a person, because the Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the way, the truth, and the life, those aren't people, but Christ as a person, he is the personification of those things. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here it is wisdom. But we know that, you know, Christ can be personified, is a personification of these, can be the personification of these different concepts, such as wisdom, such as truth, such as life itself, which you might not typically think of as a person, but Christ is all those things, and he's everything that we need. So he is continually, you know, showing that, is doing it to get a point, this verse is doing it to get a point across, that, you know, trying to show that wisdom is helpful, and that it wants to be, in a way it wants to be helpful, and it wants to reach people and help people. And verse 21 says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So verse 21 talks about she crieth in the chief place of concourse. Concourse is basically just any open space in public. It could be the streets, could be a parking lot, it could be a public building. But basically, wisdom is available to those who seek it. That's basically what the scripture is trying to get across, is that wisdom is available if you want to find it, if you want to have it, if you want to have know more things and have more knowledge and know have more guidance in your life. Or more, you know, spiritual guidance in your life, that those things are available to you if you'll seek them. And it's like the other scripture says that we're probably familiar with, is that you have not because you ask not. So it's not a matter of whether or not you can obtain it. It's a matter of whether or not you want to. You know, it's just if you seek it, then you shall have it. Verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So simple ones, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And simple here just means like something that's plain or uncomplicated. So a simple person could be someone who maybe learns a few things and think that's all they need to know, you know, to learn for life. Or it could be someone who is maybe complacent in their spiritual walk, who thinks they've done enough. And I think that's it. It's just that simple. Or it could type someone who, you know, accepts the new birth, but they kind of stop there and think that's all they have to do as a Christian. But thankfully, we've been taught and well, and we know that, you know, that's not true. That we know we should always continue studying and always continue seeking more knowledge, and we should never get complacent in our spiritual walk. We should continue to progress and always seek more of God. And we know by, you know, the scriptures and by the prophet that we can't just stop at the new birth, that we need to, you know, continue and climb higher in the stature of a perfect man. So a simple person is maybe someone who is maybe doesn't know these things or hasn't been taught these things or just won't seek them even. Who doesn't have that burden on their heart to seek these things in the first place. So, or maybe they just don't know because, you know, that would be an inconvenient truth for them, and they would have to, you know, maybe have to put effort into changing and improving themselves. So thankfully we've been taught, and we have good teachers here, and we know by the prophet and by the scriptures that the stature of perfect man is what we are continuing to aim towards even after we get the new birth. And of course we know that we have to come to maturity eventually to be the bride. So, and once again in verse 22, the second half says, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, scorners are just, you know, people who are negative, And people who just enjoy, and the scripture says they delight in their scorning. So people who are just negative and like to complain and like to, you know, they never seem to be happy. They never seem to be satisfied. And sometimes people have problems. Sometimes people really do have problems. And they have, you know, a hard time getting through them. But some people seem to always have problems and actually, you know, enjoy having problems. And seem to enjoy being negative and enjoy being in turmoil and always having something going on. But wisdom as the personification is saying, how long will this take? But how long? How long, ye simple ones? How long will these scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. So once again, we see the fools hate knowledge. So it's continuously telling us what, you know, fools will do, and it tells us what wise people will do. And wise people will hear and increase learning. So fools despise knowledge. Wise people hear and increase learning. So it's important. I think it's important to keep that in mind. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Now this is, once again, it's personifying wisdom to make a point. And it's saying that I extended my hand and no man regarded. You know, like if you were to extend your hand to shake someone's hand and they just looked at you and they just kept walking, or they didn't even acknowledge you. That is a form of rejection, and the wisdom in these verses is saying that the people are rejecting wisdom. It's not that they're just ignoring it, they don't know. So wisdom is being offered and they're rejecting it outright. So it's one thing to not know, but it's another thing to just to have it there and then reject it entirely. Verse 25 says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. So does anyone know what a reproof is? No, you said correction?
Yeah, isn't it like I don't know what they call a bien consejo in English, like
Well, it's more so, I think it's more so a disapproval. Like if there's reproof, like if I like if someone were to do something, or maybe if Thomas wore a red shirt and I didn't like his shirt, I'd be like, Thomas, why are you wearing that red shirt? And then that would be my reproof, because I would disapprove of something he was doing. So that would be a example of reproof, is a disapproval or just not agreeing with what's going on. And when wisdom here being personified is saying that, you know, you set at naught all of my counsel. So you ignored my counsel and would none of my reproof. So you ignored my counsel and you won't even hear like what I have to say or what I disagree with as wisdom itself. So you disagree with wisdom. Well, so first wisdom opened his hand, and it was not, you know, his hand was not regarded by the men or the people. Then wisdom is saying, well, I've tried to give you counsel. I've disapproved of the things you've done, and you wave it off. And verse 26 says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish cometh upon you. And that's the unfortunate truth, is that, you know, the people who deny wisdom and knowledge will eventually suffer and will want to seek it when it's too late. And at that point, wisdom will seem like, once wisdom has been presented and you've denied it, and then you come to the point where you're suffering for the decisions you've made, but that could have been prevented by the wisdom you could have had, you know. Wisdom seems almost like a cruel thing that just mocks you when you're down. You know, it kicks you when you're down. or they'll mock them as they suffer. But you know, in the reality, their suffering is their own fault because they denied wisdom when it was offered, and they refused to hear the cry. You know, and I'm sure you know we as young people, we probably heard older people say, "Oh, if I knew this when I was younger, if I knew that when I was younger, if I'd listened to my mom, if I'd listened to my friend, if I'd listened to this person," you know, there's all those examples of people who denied wisdom, and it always came back to bite them. And you can, there's plenty of people who have, you know, regrets and things like that, and you can even, if you want, you could ask people, like, what are some things that maybe you could have done better? And there's always going to be an answer, because there was always a way out of, you know, the circumstances. It's not that these things that, or these, maybe the bad things, certain situations that happen are just inevitable, were going to happen. It's that there was a chance to get out of it if someone who had sat down and listened, and you know, or people say all the time, I wish I listened to my grandparents, listened to this, listened to that, or listened to this that professor I had, and or you know, there's so many things that happened where the people had just paid more attention, you know, during their lives or during that period of time, they would have come out the other end, you know, better or improved or had a better life or had a better relationship or had a better family or whatever the case may be, or have a better financial situation. You know, whatever the case may be, wisdom could have helped them, you know. And so we, especially as young people, we should look at the mistakes of the older people and not repeat those things, and try to be better and try to listen to wisdom when it's offered, because we don't want to end up, you know, being the person that says, "Oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that." We want to, you know, live our lives a certain way, and we want it to be fulfilling. And of course, all of this is spiritual, and it can be natural, but it's also very spiritual, especially as it pertains to the scripture. So, verse 28: "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." So, at a certain point, it's just too late. Like I said, the older people, maybe they had this idea, and at a certain point, it's too late. So they'll seek me, and they shall not find me, because you know, the time for you to receive wisdom was only a certain amount of time, and now that you've denied wisdom, you know, it's too late. It's too late to wait till the bad thing happens and then try to wise up and learn up and study up, as opposed to, you know, learning it when you should have learned it and then being prepared for it. In verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So they hated knowledge. Who hates knowledge? Yes. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So once again, it was a choice. That's why verse 10 says, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." It's a choice. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." Once again, disapproval. "They despised it. They threw it away. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." And once again, their own devices are self-destructive. So we know that. Verse 32, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." So the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Even the best of what they can do, the prosperity, even that is insufficient. And verse 33, we'll end on this. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." God bless you. You're dismissed.